Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and they're kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and you receive $150 in free bets instantly. All you need to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Andy Shea. We'll be joined by Ross Tucker in a little bit for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, coming off a big, big whiteout win over Auburn. Lots of news to go over. Let's start with this. With that win, the team moved up in the rankings all the way up to number 6. I got to tell you, that surprised me. How did you think about it?
Yeah, I was surprised they jumped. They were 10 and they jumped to 6. I think it helps that you go on national TV with a whiteout, right? And that was a heck of a football game. It was a good football game. So there was all kinds of value propositions there across the board, right? Like, you know, they got to see Penn State in person. They got to see them against a quality opponent. So who they've played and who they've beat, they've figured that after, you know, the voters figured that after Penn State beat Auburn and the way they beat them and how that game played out and the way it looked, that this team was worthy of making that kind of jump. Are they better overall than, say, Clemson and Ohio State? Top to bottom, that's who they're kind of ahead of now. I'm not sure, but I will say this. Over 12 quarters, they are the more complete team than either Ohio State or Clemson, and they've played outstanding complementary football, Penn State has. And, oh, by the way, they haven't lost. So that's the other factor.
Well, yeah, that having not lost, of course, is important.
What's
interesting, and I'm glad that they've done this early in the season, give credit to teams that have won games and won big games. So Iowa beats an Iowa State. That warrants them moving up. Penn State beating both Wisconsin and now Auburn. That moves them up. The fact is, it is still so early. I don't want to say the rankings are irrelevant, but essentially they're irrelevant. You know, whether Ohio State is better than Penn State or not, they'll be playing on the field, and the rankings will reflect that. Right, Andy?
Yeah, this is reflective of that. And the higher you climb, sort of, it's harder to fall, right? Sometimes it's harder to fall back down after you've climbed up to, say, number 6, number 5. It gets hard to drop down outside the top 20. So there's a high value proposition to the body of work Penn State's put together so far. And it should be that way. It should be rewarded because it has been a quality body of work with a road win against a good team, a home win against a quality MAC side, and another home victory on a big stage.
Well, the win Saturday night impressed a lot of people. But one guy it did not impress at all, and that was Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback who I think has just a little bit of Southeast Conference bias yet. He put out a quote saying that Penn State would essentially be a middle-of-the-road Southeast Conference team. He rattled off about 5, 6, 7 different teams from the Southeast Conference who would beat Penn State. By the way, I think it's important to point out, though, prior to Penn State-Auburn game, I believe he said they'd lose to Auburn also. So what are your thoughts when you hear a talking head give that kind of comment?
Saying they're the fourth best team in the West, to say that, Greg, you might have played major college football, but from your analyst chair, that screams, I have no idea what I'm looking at. I mean, honest to gosh, that's just my opinion. I looked up and down. I mean, you've got Arkansas, Ole Miss. you know, LSU, Alabama's in the West. Yeah, okay, but fourth? I mean, come on. Know what you're looking at before you're going to open, you know, the hole underneath your nose. There is a bit of merit in the third in the East, possibly. Like you said, third in the East. Well, you've got Florida and Georgia. And Florida's a good football team. I would argue they're even probably a more complete team than Georgia, because Georgia's offense isn't that great. But Florida's a more complete and balanced team. It's just Georgia's defense is so freaking good. It's just ridiculous how good they are defensively. So that one has a wee bit of merit, but fourth in the West, that just screams, I'm an SEC homer, and I really don't know what I'm looking at from an analyst chair.
Well, like I said, this is the same guy who said Auburn would beat Penn State. And the fact is, if Auburn played Penn State 10 more times, Auburn would win some of those 10 games.
70-30 is the way I'd put it. Penn State would win 7, Auburn would win 3 if they played 10 times.
And if you did that with Penn State, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Florida, Georgia, some of them maybe they'd be 6-4, some of them they'd maybe be 4-6. But to just place the most of the Southeast Conference above a team, a good Big Ten team, I don't think that holds much weight. It's just showing the SEC homerism, Andy.
I think the most intriguing matchup, if I look at Penn State playing SEC schools, I'd love to see them play Georgia. Because Georgia's offense isn't all that whiz-bang, and Penn State's defense got some bite to it. Georgia's defense has bite, but you know what? There's a little bit of bite in Penn State's offense with the quarterback and the receivers and tight end. So that would be an intriguing matchup. I think it's the most intriguing matchup of the SEC squads. I'd love to see Penn State play Georgia, because they'd have a fair crack in that game.
Well, there are going to be a lot of really good games in the Southeast Conference schedule, and I'm going to be curious, not this weekend, but I believe the following weekend, Auburn plays Georgia. That will be interesting to see. And not even using the transitive property, if A beats B and B beats C, then A must be better than C, but just to see what it looks like, because I got the impression from Saturday night that Auburn is a pretty good team. So
Auburn's a quality football team. They didn't do much to beat themselves in that game, did they, Jim?
No.
Penn State had to win the hard way, which is earn it. And that, I thought Auburn played a pretty darn good football game. And I'm sure the film and their coaching staff recognize that as well. Like, our dudes played pretty good.
Well, I do have to, if I were an Auburn fan, I'd actually be complaining about the coaching. There was some play calling that I questioned.
Yep. Some the fade. Things.
Yes, that one, and we'll talk more about it in quarter four. But I also wonder about how they played defensively, and they stopped the running game, but Sean Clifford had no pressure on him at all in the pocket, and we've seen in those earlier games teams blitzing, teams stunting, and we really didn't see any of that from Auburn, which I thought was very curious. And again, we'll talk more about that in number four, Andy. I want to hit on a couple of the things. James Franklin had a press conference on, I believe, Tuesday. It was very interesting. He did something unusual, which was after taking the questions, he said, stick around, I want to talk about something else. And he talked about several of the penalties, several of the calls that happened during the game. He did not even get into the third down, fourth down controversy. He talked about everything else. And my take on it, and I want to get yours, though, my take was he essentially very politely and over several minutes essentially said, my God, those officials were awful.
Yeah, he had a burn in his saddle, and with good reason, right? So they were just awful. The officiating in that football game by the standard of the game, right? Where the two teams went, the officiating was a mile behind all games. Forget the major blunders. They were terrible on spots. They were sloppy on mechanics and penalty things. And there was just, they were just bad. Like the overt calls that you know, the Brandon Smith, the 15-yard penalty, the targeting against Auburn, the what the heck are you calling Sean Clifford for the intentional grounding when he's clean in the pocket and has both feet on the ground. So forget the loss of the down. How in the world does that happen in 2021 with technology, reviews, replays, and some dude coming on the air talking about officiating and being an expert? You know, and how does it, when you're supposed to have 1, 2, 3, 4 on your fingers, you know, you have the band that wraps around your fingers, and there's 9 of them or 10 of them out there, and they all got it wrong. So he did have a bird. Thank goodness Penn State didn't lose that game, because the officiating was just that across the board. I'm not saying for both teams. I'm just saying by basic, you know, non-biased standards, that was just poorly officiated across the board. And it was disappointing to see.
It really was. And just hopping on that, the down count, you're right. Every official is keeping track of it. A lot of games, a lot of plays in the game. If they lost it one time with the downs, okay. But the difference here was they were caught. James Franklin caught the issue, caught the problem, and said, hey, wait a minute, stop. There's an issue here. Why did that not cause anybody to say, wait a minute, let me think back. I can't count 3 previous plays. How come upstairs in the review booth, they didn't look back and see? From my Barca lounger, Andy, I went into the game log on ESPN in 10 seconds and found there were only 2 prior plays to confirm what I suspected.
I texted you right away. Did Penn State just lose a down? Because I know what the down count was. It was complicated by the call they had just made as well, right? It was so egregiously bad. And flip side to it, they stopped the game 62 times for other reviews and checking spots and you know, that previous play is under review. Stop! Take a second and make sure you got the down right. You just made a terrible call. And they just were so convinced they were right, they kept right on rolling. So that was just... that was the sort of them officiating the game overall in a nutshell, was that call.
I think you hit it, because poor. It not only showed incompetence, it showed a great deal of arrogance that yes. They couldn't have, you know, a coach vehemently saying, hey, wait a minute, there was a mistake. All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number 1. Stick around. Quarter number 2, we have Ross in for Tucker's Tape. Stick around for that. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.